Well, we're going to spend a little time in God's Word, which is a wonderful thing to do. And we're going to start off by going to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And I'd like to share a little bit on the subject of guarding our minds. Guarding our minds. Most people, I guess this is a guess on my behalf, but let's say many people, do find it important to monitor what they allow to go into their mouth, food-wise, drink-wise, especially if the person's on a diet or got physical things that they can't, you know, they can't have certain foods or drinks or whatever. And we'll monitor that and be generally quite conscious as to what they're doing and not doing. You would prefer to have a clean glass of water as opposed to a muddy, old, junky glass of water, right? Or you'd pick water over gasoline or whatever. It's bad to drink gas because it gives you gas, you know. That's what I heard. Heartburn, too. But anyway, it is very important. Now, if we spend that much time and effort guarding our physical bodies, what about the brain? We are to spend a lot of effort to guard what goes into that brain and how that brain works. So I just thought we'd look at some of those things in God's Word today. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4, shows a part of the reason why we really need to guard our thinking in our brain. Verse 4 says, "In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them." The God of this world is referring to Satan, referring to the devil. He's got a lot of different names throughout the Bible, and one of them is the God of this world. he controls the world as far as he can put as much information into the world via circumstances and people and doctrines as he wants. And he has. There are so many belief systems out there and things to try to keep people from loving God and walking with God. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 2. He continues to introduce information that's contrary to God's word. Some of it is very obvious, and some of it is so like, similar to the truth of God's word that you really could easily get tricked if you didn't know the difference. Ephesians chapter 2, another indication of why we need to guard our minds. Chapter 2, verse 1, shows where we were before we got born again of God's Spirit. It says, "And you hath he quickened, who were in trespasses and sins," which was the case of what we were before we got born again, "wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air," which is another name for the devil, "the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation," and that word could be translated as manner of living or lifestyle, "all had our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others." So we all, no matter how good we might have thought we were, or how sweet, or whatever, we all were in the devil's realm at one point. And the thoughts we had were trained by the ways of the world. So when we get born again and we start learning God's word, there's a major difference between what the word of God says concerning life and living and what is out there available just to learn from the streets, so to speak. Let's go to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter. We are to guard our thinking to what the truth of God's word says from the information from the world. Chapter 1, verse 18. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18. And it says, for as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, from your vain conversation or lifestyle, received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. So apparently there are a lot of people who do have a thinking that they're redeemed by doing this or that, and not necessarily by the blood of Jesus Christ. And they got that from the traditions of their elders, of their fathers. So information out there is not always accurate. Let's go to Matthew chapter 15. People for years have believed that redemption was the redemption of mankind was caused by something other than the Lord Jesus Christ. In Matthew 15, there's a record of the Pharisees and scribes approaching Jesus Christ with a couple questions. And it's going to show the difference between what they believed and what the truth of God's word said. And so they're approaching Jesus. Verse 1, it says, then came to Jesus scribes and Pharisees, which were of Jerusalem, saying, "Why?" Here's the question. Why do your disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? For they wash not their hands when they eat bread. But he answered and said unto them, there are no bathrooms where we eat. What do you want me to do? He answered, why do you also transgress the commandment of God by your tradition? For God commanded, saying, honor thy father and mother, and he that curses father or mother, let him die to death. But you say, whosoever shall say to his father or his mother, it's a gift, by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me, and honor not his father or mother, he shall be free. Thus have you made the commandment of God of none effect by your tradition. You hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, this people draweth nigh or close unto me with their mouth, and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. So you can see there definitely was a difference between what these scribes and Pharisees thought about God and what truth was and how to live life and what the scripture said. And those things were propounded one way or the other from the devil through the years of propounding information, putting it out there, and some people latch onto it, then they teach others that, and after a while it becomes a religion. So it's what's happened. Let's go to Matthew chapter 22, being we're in the neighborhood. Some other religious people came up to Jesus Christ, the Pharisees, Sadducees, and they asked him a question, and his answer was in verse 29, Jesus said unto them, you do err, not knowing the scriptures, nor the power of God. The point is that they made an error in what they were believing and propounding, and the error was originated from the devil. Somewhere along the line, he propounded it. And somewhere along the line, they picked up on it and put it in their brain and stuck with it. So, but he was trying to correct them, or was correcting them, and saying, hey, you're wrong. You don't know what the word says. You don't understand the power of God. Let's go to Genesis chapter 2. It's just very, very vital for us to guard our thinking as to what the word of God says and how we're going to apply it in our thinking and life. Because the brain is what we believe is what dictates what we do. You know, if I think I'm this, I'm going to act. My actions are going to be accordingly. If I think I'm that, well, you know, it's going to be something different. But we want to act based on what God says we can do and can't do. So here's a record, most of you are familiar with it, in Genesis chapter 2. This is God talking to Adam, our wonderful Adam, first man on earth. And he gives them a command. And in verse 15 it says, "And the Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And the Lord commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die." So he's given him what he can eat, what he can't eat, and what would happen if for some reason he did eat the wrong thing. So we move over to chapter 3, and in verse 1 it mentions about the serpent. The serpent is God's archenemy. He's the devil. That's just another term, another name for the devil. And it says, "Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden?" Good question. "And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. But of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God had said, you shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die." So she omitted a word, she added a word, she changed a word, and then she didn't have what the commandment was. What she says does not match up with what we read in chapter 2, verses 16 and 17. "And the serpent said unto the woman, well, you shall not surely die." So now he's giving information that definitely contradicts what God had commanded Adam. "You shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired, to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat." He didn't say, "Whoa, whoa, whoa, this is not what God commanded us." He just followed suit. "And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, well, who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee not, thou shalt not eat? And the man said, well, the woman whom you gave me." No, this is the first record of somebody blaming somebody else. "The woman whom thou gavest to me, she gave of the tree, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the woman, what is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, well, the serpent beguiled me, tricked me, deceived me, and I did eat." So they didn't guard the truth that they were given by God Almighty. And the first introduction of information that was contrary to what that command was, she got subtly deceived and didn't figure it out and ate of the fruit. Adam did it eyes wide open. Okay, I'm going to do it. So there's the difference between a male and a female. No, I'm only kidding. But, you know, there, as we know, the consequences were horrible, and we're still living the effects of that. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. They did not guard their thinking with what the truth of the word said, truth of what God said, had told them. One simple commandment. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, a little scripture concerning this same incident. Paul was by revelation confronting the Corinthian believers with some things that they were starting to err concerning certain things about God's word. And in verse 3 it says, "But I fear, I'm concerned lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ." The adversary was endeavoring to work on their understanding of God's word, and banging at the door. And Paul was concerned, as a man who had helped them and got a lot of them in the word, and that the adversary wasn't going to be able to deceive them like Eve was deceived. Now, if we back up a chapter 10, verse 5, there's a directive as to how we can guard our minds and what we are to do. It's a process that we're to do all the time. It says, casting down imaginations. And the word imaginations could also be translated reasonings, sort of thinking. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. And this is a process that we're to do on a minute by minute, second by second, decade by decade schedule. Or to, as a thought comes into our brain, which, other than Rube, remember Rube the other day made an announcement. He went to a doctor and they did a check on his brain, and the guy said, "Rube, what did he say?"
"There's nothing there."
"There's nothing there." Other than Rube, our brain gets thoughts. So, and then what we do is we don't do what Eve did, where she just started, "Oh, okay, that looks good." We check those thoughts with the accuracy of the Word of God that we understand. And if we don't understand what the accuracy is, we ask somebody we think might know. And if they don't know, we check with somebody else and we just find out, or hold that thought in abeyance. But we do this process. We cast down those reasonings that are contrary to the Scriptures. And sometimes we get bombarded by thought after thought after thought, and we just keep casting those stupid thoughts out and say, "No, that's not what God's word says. That's not what God's word says." And then keep going back to what God's word does say. A great example of this is in Matthew, and it's just a wonderful section of God's word that does illustrate. The Lord Jesus Christ did this all the time. That's how he stayed perfect. Had he missed it on one time, we wouldn't be here. Just one time. Can you imagine missing it one time? Incredible. I think we already missed it 3 minutes after we're up. He lived his entire life without missing it once. So, chapter 4, verse 1, this is in the beginning of his ministry. It says, "Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungered." Well, he's a hungry guy after not eating for 40 days and 40 nights. "And when the tempter came to him, he said, 'Well, if you be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread.' But he answered and said, 'It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God.' Then the devil taketh him up into the holy city, and setteth him on a pinnacle of the temple, and saith unto him, 'If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone.'" You know, God's going to send his angels to protect you. You can jump, and God will send an angel to stop it. "Jesus said unto them, 'It is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God.' Again, the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain, and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world, and the glory of them, and saith unto him, all these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. So now he's really being offered something really big. I mean, all the kingdoms of the world. There's a lot of people who try to be the ruler of the world, or even just the ruler of their town or city. How many people kill to have to be a mayor of something, or a senator, or whatever? Let alone have all the kingdoms of all time and all the glory thereof. All he had to do is worship the devil. Verse 10. Then Jesus saith unto him, Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him. The thing to notice is each time Jesus Christ came back with, it is written. He understood what the word said concerning that situation and compared it to what was his ears were hearing and, you know, lined the two up. Sorry, doesn't compute, doesn't work, not right, it is written. And he stayed with it is written. What an example that is to us. Incredible. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 4. What an example that is to us. We just keep comparing what the truth of God's Word says compared to what's coming our way, whether it's something externally coming our way or our brains just bringing it up on its own, which happens. Okay, chapter 4 of Proverbs. Did I say Proverbs before?
Yes.
Okay, chapter 4, and we're going to go to verse 20. It says, my son, attend to my words, incline thine ear unto my sayings, let them not depart from thine eyes, keep them in the midst of thine heart. For they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. And the word keep could be translated as guard. It's with an intense keeping. It's with an intense guarding. something that we may consider as valuable, whether it's a life or it's a thing, if we deem it valuable and it's in our responsibility to take care of it, the more valuable it is in our thinking, the more effort we put to keeping to make sure it, you know, it stays in good shape, whether it's a little baby. You know, you wouldn't have the responsibility of a little baby and then never think to feed it. Oh, I forgot to feed it this week. You know, whatever it is. I mean, people buy things that are very expensive and they cherish them and then they'll protect them because they don't want it to get lost or ruined. Well, we have, you know, here the exhortation is to guard the truth, the words that have life in them. And the only words that have life in them are the words of life, which is God's word. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. It's just a great truth to keep in our lives. And lastly, we're going to go to Philippians chapter 4. This is just a very practical part of God's word of living life. It has a direct effect on everything we do. If we don't guard the words that our ears are hearing with the truth of God's word, we may go amiss. Like the thoughts we may have of our own self. I remember before I got in the word, I really didn't have a very good opinion of myself. And I had no information coming my way that contradicted what I thought. So I stuck with it. Then I heard the truth of God's word and I said, wow, that's different. And I thought, I'm going to hold on to that instead. And so then if old thoughts came in, I said, forget it. I'm done with that. And I kept hanging on to what the word said. And that's a practical thing. How we think about ourselves, how we think about those who are in the body of Christ, are they members in particular, all the believers in the body of Christ, or are they jerks and stupid people and all that stuff? You know, what are our opinions of the people in the body of Christ? Or what's our opinion of what is going on in the world or whatever? We always have to compare it to what the truth of God's Word says and stick with the truth. So it's extremely practical, you know. And God even specifically tells us what to think about if you're just not sure. Here's one in Philippians that is just terrific. Verse 8, it says, "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, whatsoever things are lucrative." No. Whatsoever things that give you lots of power. No, those aren't in there. "If there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you." So those are things that God specifically tells us to think about. So if something that our brain is mulling over and it's not honest or it's not pure or it's not lovely or it's not of a good report, there's a good possibility that it's something that you don't want rolling around in your brain. And then you could cast it out and say, "I'm not thinking that anymore." And then when it jumps right back in again 2 seconds later, you say, "Nope, you're supposed to get out." If we got a mouse in our house and we saw it creeping along the floor and we said, I don't think he's paying enough rent, I'm getting him out. And you pick him up and you throw him out. Then 3 minutes later, he's back in the house. Do you say, "Okay, I'm getting him out again," or do you just say, "All right, I'll let him stay"? No, yeah, get him out again. You might even take a little bit more effort to make sure he didn't come back. But we may get certain thoughts that hit our brain 1,000 times a day. If it contradicts the truth of God's Word, 1,000 times we cast it out. Eventually, our brains will say, "Okay, I'm done thinking that way." Whatever it may be. But it takes an effort. And some of it is just so subtle, we may not even realize we're thinking that way. That's why we just keep thinking, I'm going to do a checkup from the neck up. Remember that old saying? Yeah. Checkup from the neck up. If your car runs out of gas, it may be that you forgot, hadn't been thinking lately about that dial going right to E. Oh, that's what it is. So, but it's just a great thing to recognize what the truth of God's Word says, put it in our brain, and to recognize, yes, we live in a world and there is a devil and he's going to throw things at us directly or indirectly. And what do we want to do with those things? So.